once again, and welcome to the Spirit's Work Show, the metaphysical and spiritual show with a difference. I'm Sylvie Avery.
I'm Mick Avery. Hello.
Mick and I are mediums who have chosen to serve humanity through our gifts of spirit. We focus on education and communication, and on this show, through Mick's deep trance mediumship, we are able to bring you the truths as to the nature of your existence, direct from the other side of life. And on today's show, we'll be discussing developing gifts of healing. And this week, we're going to be delving into the realm of trance healing. So stay tuned, and if you'd like to join us with a question relating to our subject, the phone lines will be open. And the number to call is toll-free in the U.S. and Canada. And in the U.S., the number is 877-876-5227. Canada is 888-810-8322.
Can you just stick your phone back, Phil?
Oh, yeah,
please,
sure.
Put your receiver back on.
Oh, right, yeah.
Thanks. There you go.
Okay, that's the problem.
Great.
Oh, my hum has gone in my head.
Your hum has gone, yes.
Okay, just a...
Okay, well, right. Hi, I'm Mick Avery, as well as Spirit's Work on the wonderful BBSradio.com. Every Monday at 7 p.m. PST and Thursdays at 1 p.m. PST, we have another radio show, which is called Spirit's Work. No, it's called Spirit's Teaching, Spirit's Work. And you can hear that on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. PST. If you want to know more about us, our books, CDs, Book and Akashic Reading, or any of the other services we have to offer from Spirit Guy Gregory Hay and the team, we suggest you go to our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com, also on www.spiritsworkradio.com. As regular listeners will know, each week live on the show, I channel an enlightened spirit person called Gregory Hay. And he's the main spokesperson for a group of evolved spirits called the White Cloud Group. There are a bunch of people, really, who sort of come together in the spirit world who, they've kind of, well, tried to pit all of their knowledge and information anyway. And Gregory himself had an earth life in the early 1700s. And now he's come back to share the vast insights and wisdom, along with all these other people from the group, he has gained access to with those of us still on the earth plane. We don't spend all that much time on small talk or chit-chat. As those of you who've listened to us before will know, at the start of our shows, because we try to pull in all the amount of the show time that we have on those beings who really matter, and that's the spirit people, because you don't really want to hear me rabbiting on. So there you go. Without further ado, I'm going to say goodbye and go to sleep and have a nice little nap while you carry on with the show, Sylv.
Well, thank you. Yeah, lovely.
Yes, over to you then.
And, of course, the other people that matter is our listeners. You are very important to us. Gregory, like Mick said, he's the spokesperson for the White Cloud Group, and they're actually made up of many scientific minds of all description, plus ordinary people who have an input to make. They are an educational team and have come to give us access to information that we need to know in order that we may move towards a more harmonious, way of life, to understand the nature of our existence and help us to evaluate our lives differently. When Mick is in trance, his spirit and his consciousness are transported and held by the scientific members of the White Cloud Group so that he can enjoy the complete personality, so that we can enjoy the complete personality of Gregory. He can't enjoy him. He doesn't even see him. He doesn't even get to talk to him. So, I mean, that's quite sad, really, isn't it? He goes through his life because he's just a conduit for Gregory speaking through him. He doesn't actually get the pleasure of talking to him, obviously. He listens to his recordings, but and I believe sometimes he's crossed on the stairs. He's actually seen him, as it were, when he loses consciousness and has an out-of-body experience, which he does when he goes into trance. He actually, I think, saw Gregory once coming into his body while he was leaving, but I think that's pretty much about it. And so anyway, this isn't just Mick passing the information to us from anybody. He won't be aware of what is happening, and it will be the complete different person who will be taking the show, Spirit Guide Gregory Hay, a different personality altogether, different voice, mannerisms, everything. Anyway, as Mick said, you can find out more about us from our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. If you'd like to join us on our Akashic Reading show, which will be actually in August, we've got a few shows in August, so if you would like to book up now, we're taking bookings for August now, on the Monday and the Thursday show. We will need your full name at birth, including middle names, your date of birth, your question and your telephone number, and email that to enq@spirit-teaching.com. An Akashic reading is a reading from your book of life. If you'd like to find out more about what happens in an Akashic reading or book a full Akashic reading, purchase something from the website for a private one-to-one personal reading, then do go and look at that. But again, it's spirit-teaching.com. Well, hello, Gregory.
Hello, my dear friend. With love and light, as always.
Thank you. So, we're moving on with our healing program. And then today we were going to be discussing different forms of consciousness healing, trance healing being among that.
Yes.
How would you describe trance healing? What would you say that is?
Well, as you rightly pointed out, my friend, this is really varying different stages. Of course, just in the same way that someone is inspired to bring illuminated speaking and that kind of thing, when a spirit perhaps is not transient within the physical state, that means has not swapped the role of that of the originator, of that of the person that you are, but is merely having an effect upon that condition. So you would perhaps... you would feel as a person as though you were being blessed by someone, that you had someone coming in very close to you. Perhaps you were feeling that person's energy and that kind of thing. And so you may well, of course, be fully conscious. And at the same time, you will actually be feeling as though you are inspired to say things. However, when you are in a deep trance state, of course, you are completely unaware. So the first thing, the first principle that you have to overcome as being a physical being means that, quite simply, you have to be able to allow your conscious mind to completely evaporate. That means you have absolutely no awareness whatsoever of your physical surroundings. Now, this, of course, is something that's quite difficult to do, and actually very few people manage to actually accumulate the energy or manage to actually be able to transfer their own energy into having absolute lack of fear so that they are able to leave their physical state. That is really one of the things that holds most people back, is fear. It means that you as a physical being, although you may not have fear in your mind, you have all the courage in the world, yes, I know. But at the same time, there are still those latent fears within a self which are sometimes difficult to overcome. And so basically what can happen is that person feels still a conscious effort to be retained within, have an anchor upon the physical vessel, upon the physical world. And that is something which is quite difficult to break. So what you would then feel if you attempt to do trance healing, this is what, after all, we are talking about, but it still means to say you need to have the ability to accelerate yourself into the trance effect, which means that you have a kind of out-of-body experience. You are not consciously aware. As I am saying this, I'm mindful all of the time that many people are unable to obtain this, and certainly not straight away. So this is a gradual situation. And of course, being gradual, you need to start somewhere. So that's why I'm saying I'm not trying to put anyone off about doing this and saying that you have to be completely unconscious in order to do trance healing. What I'm saying is this is a very gradual process that can happen over a period of time. Unless, of course, you are someone who is very adept at having out-of-body experiences and that kind of thing, astral traveling. And perhaps someone who is used to doing that may well be more adept at creating situations of great healing and great worth, in being able to offer themselves as a free will entity for other people in the spirit world to use. Naturally, as I say, you must have no fear, and also you must be completely happy and feel safe with those spirit people who are working with you. And that, too, is going to take a little time. And I suggest that it should take a little time, because it isn't something that you just want to say to the first spirit people who come along, even though they may call themselves guardian angels, or they may call themselves ascensionist masters or whatever. Don't take their word for it. I'm just saying to you that many beings in the spirit world will give you all of these right signs that you want to hear, and they'll say virtually anything at times. So you must always be aware of the fact that there are possibilities, most certainly, for you to try this event for yourself, and that this is a gradual process. So what you would feel then is that you would feel, and of course that you may want to stand up, you may not, you may want to sit down. We had already have the feeling of there being energy around ourselves at this time, that we are entering into this liaison with spirit. And at the same time, my friends, what you will feel is not just a lightheadedness, but a wish really to just become completely immersed in this beautiful energy that you will feel overcoming you. And really, all you need to do is, as I say, you have to have a certain amount of understanding of what is to transpire, what's going to happen to you, and also what the process is all about. Having said this, you should really be without fear. And even if you take some small steps to begin with, perhaps say you have experiences of going into the trance state and then coming out again because you don't quite like it or it doesn't feel quite right, that's all right too. That's a good thing to do, because you have to test the water. You have to understand that the vibration which is going to come to your physical state and overtake it is something that you're happy with. So for a good many times, it may well be that this spirit is going to come very, very close to you, and at times it may feel overpowering. At other times, it may feel really beautiful and lovely, and that you're really happy with it. And at those times, they're the times that work. So you need to tell them that. You need to tell those beings who are working with you, drawing close in this way, yes, I can feel that, thank you very much, and that feels very nice, thank you. And you need to keep on with the rapport that you are building up with those in the spirit world. So does this mean to say then that you're obstructing your mind, you're disallowing your consciousness to leave your physical state? Well, no, not at all, because actually, if you, so long as you keep your mind free of experiencing, of trying to create thoughts, but really all you're doing is you're just reacting to things and events around you. Try not to be too busy with it, though. It is really best just to allow things to be. Just relax. It's the most important thing, really.
Okay, so basically you sit in meditation,
yes,
and attune to your guides in a meditative way.
Yes.
Correctly. And so in doing that, to start, you will open an invocational prayer.
Of course.
Or whatever you want to call it, asking for the,
yes,
highest and best. And then stating then what you're sitting for.
Yes. What exactly the whole reason for this is. Yes.
Mm. So then when you, I mean, obviously, this would be an ongoing situation, wouldn't it?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
So,
you need to be able to sit for this at least 2 or 3 times every week.
Mm. Yes. And because this person would be a different different guide than you may use if you have other disciplines.
Yes.
Clairvoyance or whatever.
Yes.
It would probably be a different guide, wouldn't it?
Oh, yes, it would be. And it would be, obviously, that you would create this on a different time, at a different time setting. And you would, as you say, quite rightly, friend, that you would actually set aside this time, especially for this. You would say, yes, well, I am going to sit for my trance healing now, my trance healing development, please, and then continue. See?
Mm. So you would sit for maybe 20 minutes?
Oh, yes,
something
not that
like
long.
That. And basically, I would think that the act of actually standing up is quite scary. Now, presumably, you're either going to go completely under, then you're going to stand up and you're not going to know. Is that correct? Or are you going to not be completely unconscious and then stand up?
Yes.
And then do it?
Yes, that is the thing to do, because obviously if you're waiting until you're unconscious, then you aren't going to be able to do anything, and it will be all down to the spirit people to actually make you stand up. Mm-hmm. And this is why we are suggesting, really, in this state, that what you do is that as you feel yourself going down into consciousness, you just try it for once. Instead of sitting down over your whole meditation, try standing up when you are actually feeling as though you're just about to let go.
That's hard.
It is difficult. Yes, I do not
deny that.
I do not deny that.
No.
Because the point is that you, of course, the first thing is that because of the fact that you haven't got your eyes open, it means you have no frame of reference in which for your ears to make balance of your physical state, which means that you may be liable to falling over. In fact, my friend, I would suggest that before you do this, that you just have a little practice of keeping your eyes closed and standing up from your sitting down position, and then sit down again, and then stand up, and then sit down again, so that your ears and your center of balance becomes familiar. I know that this still means that you're engaging with the conscious mind, but actually what you are engaging with here is the subconscious state. That is the motability, the state of motability. That means that your subconscious is continually pumping your heart, creating the vibration and the situation for your lungs to continue your breathing. Otherwise, as soon as you had an out-of-body experience, you would simply crumple to a heap on the floor, and you would probably not only just become unconscious and have an out-of-body experience, but you then would not be able to regain consciousness. So there has to be an element of the subconscious mind, that which takes care of the motability, to continue to function. So we're really talking about the consciousness layer of that which is your consciousness.
So you're not going to fall over, basically?
Yes, exactly. You're not going to fall over. As I say, it was probably a good idea to practice a little, first of all.
I mean, can anybody be a trance channel?
No. Not really.
But if you don't try, you don't know. You'll never know.
Exactly.
So basically, it can only do you good.
Yes, that's my point, really. I know that many people, when they are healing, they will close their eyes and they will go up to the person and be most respectful and all of that. And it doesn't really matter what form of healing that they will be doing, whether it's hands-on, whether it is magnetic healing, where their hands are not actually touching the physical body, or whether they are doing Reiki healing, and whatever they call that as being invocating the energy of the universe. And I know that it has many different names, depending on what religious aspect or tool it is you are using, or that has developed your gift. And I'm not for sure, saying that any of these are lesser conditions. But what I do have to say is that the whole point about trance healing is that a physical person, by engaging in trance healing, is then able to completely step aside so that you have no condition of the ego, of I self, nothing at all to do with any thoughts or feelings within yourself, and you are giving yourself completely over to the spirit world so that they can actually come through and use your physical being, because it's vacated, your spirit no longer present. Quite simply means then that we on our side of life can have free run of it. And it also means, of course, that with that fact being in place, it means we are able to conduct, operate your arms, legs, hands, fingers, mouth, nose, eyes, whole body structure. And the more that you are able to develop this gift and this process means quite simply that you would be able to begin walking around in this way, and that you won't actually, yes, you may realize it to begin with. You may have even a part of your consciousness still there. If you do, don't worry about it. Don't think, oh, I'm not supposed to be here, I'm not supposed to be here, and get trapped in that. Because that as well can be something which most certainly can hold you back in your development, in your progress, and your positivity, and the love of self, within self, being sent to the spirit world to aid that connection of the spirit beings on our side of life, locating, helping this physical body that they're using to operate in the way they need it to.
Well, I'd like to say thank you for anybody who might have just joined us on Spirit's Work. You're listening to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay, being channeled by Deep Trance Medium Mick Avery. I'm Sylvie Avery, and we're talking about trance healing. If you'd like to join us with a question related to our subject, phone lines are open, and we'd love to hear from you. The number to call is toll-free in the U.S., 877-876-5227. In Canada, 888-810-8322. I'd just like to mention before we go any further about certain things if you are developing trance, whether you're developing trance, just plain trance for speaking or for healing. Obviously, we've talked about the safety and the invocation of, you know, for energies external to the physical world, shall we say. What about the dangers for developing trance, practicing trance here? We know that sudden shocks like the telephone ringing or
yes,
a bang on the door or things like that are dangerous when you're trying to develop trance.
Yes, absolutely. So it's always a good idea to have notices upon your doorway if you live in a communal building or something like that. Do not disturb notices. Always take the telephone out from, disconnected from your life for that time. Any other situations would be perhaps then if you are, shall we say, you are living in a house and that there are other people sharing that house with you, lock your door and leave a notice outside of your door asking that you not be disturbed for any reason.
So basically we don't want anything to shock your system to you know, if your spirit is having a journey away from the body, we don't want it to be shocked back, do we, your consciousness?
No, hopefully not. Now, having said that, it doesn't mean to say that that means that for people who are living in inner city dwellings, high-rise buildings and that kind of thing, that they cannot do this. I'm not saying that at all. Of course, people have windows, and some of them have the kind of windows that don't let in sound, and others are insufficient in that way, and they let in a great deal of sound. But that really is a part of your process of development. And what I have to say, my friends, is this, that if you are really wanting to develop, it doesn't really matter where you live, because you will be able to still develop your gift of mediumship even if there is howling traffic outside, even if there is a storm outside, even if there is a lot of noise outside. You will gradually understand that you are able to separate your consciousness from those activities that are happening outside. You will learn to be able to control the consciousness, the creative mind, the busy mind, the wanting to know, the nosy mind, wanting to see, smell, to experience. All of those things are the part of your physical energy, the part of your consciousness, which you have to subtract from this situation if you are going to become an accomplished, developed trance medium or doing trance healing, or for that matter, any form of healing. You need to be able to displace these kinds of noises and sounds and energies away from your conscious state. So this, in a sense as well, really applies to all kinds of healing, because after all, when you are bringing about healing for someone else, what you really need to be doing is balancing your mind so that you are able to have, at the very least, you are being able to create from the well of love within a self to actually envelop the situation and illuminate the situation that you are trying to heal. So, shall we say then, friends, if it be a large animal like a horse, an elephant or a giraffe or something like that, well, that's rather a larger animal that you have to get around, that you have to engulf in your loving energy. So, of course, it may well be that you have to be able to subdue the animal to begin with, just like you may have to subdue the human being too. Because they too may have a busy mind. They may not want to close their eyes. They may want to just look around themselves. What's he doing? What is this? What is that? The point is that you have to stress to the client, if you can communicate with them, that you need them to try to be still and calm and just close their eyes and allow the situation to wash over them. With an animal, of course, you cannot do that. So you may want to talk to them in just gentle tones. That is something which will calm them. Stroking the head for an animal will do a great deal to calm them, particularly between the eyes. This place between the eyes is a point of connection for, particularly, I would have to say, for your right hand. So it may well be that you need to do this first if you are doing healing for an animal, a dog, cat, or whatever it is, you see. You need to be able to do this to connect with the animal, to allow the animal to be in that same space. And you will find, in fact, that the animal will become very subdued and quiet and will just relax in the energy that you are surrounding that animal with, that you are illuminating the being, the physical being, so those in the spirit world can have a good look, can actually then be of service. You can then be of service to the spirit world by illuminating that person. It's not all coming from you, you see. Part of this, in fact, most of this, is actually coming from those from the other side of life. It isn't to say then that I do not regard human beings as being of worth or anything like that. I'm not diminishing the role of the medium involved. But what you have to understand is, as the medium bringing about this form of connection, you are the conduit. That's what you are. The better the conduit you are, the better that spirit will be able to work through you to help others heal.
And the more you are attuned to this guide, then the more you will intuitively know what area to go to and that you will be drawn to.
Yes.
If you're in trance or semi-trance, like we say, you don't have to be completely unconscious and aware. If you are passive and, how should we say, giving to the moment and can be impressed what to do, then that can grow, can't it?
It can.
And probably quite a good way of doing it, really, because it, at least you're working, and also it's more of a way of not actually trying too hard.
Yes, absolutely, and that's the important thing as well, not to try too hard. Don't try to connect, oh, I haven't got a connection, therefore I cannot do this. The point is, what you have to remember is you are developing, everyone is developing, and do not take it either upon yourself that anyone comes up to you and says that I am fully developed, thank you very much, I don't need to do all of this, I know what to do and all of that. The situation is everyone is constantly developing. In whatever form of mediumship it is that you have, yes, you may be well versed with it, but there are still going to come to you situations you have never met before. There are still going to be those energies you come across because everyone is completely different and individual, as individual and unique as you are. That means that whenever you come upon a new person you have never met before, their energy is going to be different. Why? Quite simply because the scale of life they have been through, the environment they have lived in and are still living in, the interaction they have had in their physical life is something completely different to yours. They have also come from a completely different soul group to you as well. All of this adds up to the fact that their energy is not your energy and yours isn't theirs. They're quite different, quite separate. Your vibration index, if you looked at it from the spirit world and from their point of view, is markedly different, has a different vibration, a different color, a different shape, a different aura to anyone else living or anyone else who has ever lived. That is what makes you unique. And that's why it's important when you are developing for this trance healing, for any other form of healing, that when you are making contact with those in the spirit world, that you regard this situation as unique, and that not necessarily will it be that those first beings, helpers, who come close to you, are going to be the ones that necessarily stay there. Guides, spirit guides, change all the time. Every time that you come to do this work, you will experience different feelings, different senses. You will have different conditions of varying success of your unconscious or disassociated state of physical life. Whilst you are in the development process, while you are giving somebody healing, or while you are actually perhaps in some form of condition whereby you are interacting with the spirit world and at their behest, helping others to live their lives.
And another, I'd like to talk about the fact that,
yes,
you know, for people that either they don't like the idea of standing up and having a go at trance healing, or if they do and they've had a go and they find that it's not for them, they'd prefer to sit down. They might find it easier. That's fine too, isn't it?
Absolutely. So, yes, I'm just saying that it is a very good thing for you to do in the process of your development in any event, that it's actually something that everyone should do in exactly the same way, my friend, that we advocate that everyone really should do some form of meditation while walking.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of thing, so that this is something which will really equate you with the area and mass that you take up in your physical state in relation to your environment, so that you are able to be a more fully functioning being. You will be more balanced, more in harmony, because it won't matter whether you are in fact having your eyes open and revealing the things that you see or that they are closed, because it still will mean your consciousness level is able to alter in any state and in any event that is brought to you or that you put yourself in.
Now, you just said about eyes. If you're in trance, if you're in proper trance, we know that you don't open your eyes, do you?
No.
If you are in some lighter states of consciousness, then you could, but you wouldn't normally, would you?
No, not when normally.
When if you were trying to do trance healing, you would not. It just wouldn't. You wouldn't think about that.
Well, no, because that would mean then that you would have your thoughts and you would be operating your thoughts. I know that many people will insist on the fact that, yes, but the spirit opened my eyes so that they can use my eyes to see through.
Mm, yes, I've heard that.
Yes.
And you think of that what?
Well, I don't think of it at all. I just think it's an excuse to say that they are walking around with their eyes open and they're not really in the state that they claim to be in.
Mm.
That's all I'm saying, is that that isn't the state of trance.
Mm.
Not in any way. That is inspiration. That is to do with the close contact of spirit, yes. But what is actually happening is that spirit entity is using that person's mind. Because if their eyes are open, there is someone home.
Yes. Yes, it's the sort of thing that we call inspired speaking, isn't it?
Yes.
And we encourage that in development for mediumship so
absolutely.
That it can help you in all sorts of different situations, whether it's to do with work or,
yes.
or you
yes.
might not be a public speaker, but obviously in those situations it would help because
yes.
you can attune and have a little hand out there, can't you?
Yes, absolutely so.
Mm.
The problem, you see, that I have is that many people try to water down what the trance state is, purely because they don't really know what the trance state is.
Well, they call it channeling a lot, but it's not, is it?
But that isn't trance.
No.
Channeling is not trance. Deep trance, that is when you are unconscious, unaware of anything in the physical process of life. That is what true deep trance is. And as I say, few people are actually able to obtain it, to attain to that, because it just simply isn't in them. And I understand that. So, but please do call it what it is and not what it isn't.
Mm, well, very often, I think to sort of cover the spectrum of what people either do or don't understand about trance, I very often say trance channeling just so that they get the idea of what I'm talking about.
Yes, quite so. And I understand completely and perfectly
yeah.
well that if you have a person who has an entity speaking through them, that is, my understanding of an entity is someone who has finished with all of their past lives experiences of physical state and they're not coming back again. And in that event, of course, that means then that this entity is completely finished with the physical state, so they don't need to bother about any of the trappings of the physical state, which is why that person can walk around with their eyes wide open and talk in a different voice or whatever it is, and think that they're trance channeling, but they're not.
Okay. So if somebody wants to practice this, they can actually sit down.
Yes.
And maybe practice on their pets or their friends or whatever, and maybe actually place the chair or the person in front of them and practice going into trance, maybe with their hands on the area to start with, maybe sit at a bad knee.
Yes.
Something like that.
Or sit back
in front of
or
them.
Something yes. like that.
And then see what happens.
Yes, yes. If I may just say, it is actually really best to have a person sitting on something like a piano stool or something which doesn't have a back to it, so that you have access to all areas, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to have yourself a small, low stool of some form.
Mm.
Perhaps even a footstool, but remember, though, that means that tall people wouldn't be able to sit on it comfortably because the knees always need to be really either level so that when they're sitting down on the seat, that the knee is level and then the foot rests on the floor, flat on the floor.
Comfortable, not
and
not
is
cutting
very comfortable.
The circulation off behind
no, quite,
the leg.
Quite so, yes. And also, of course, for those people who are perhaps shorter of the leg, then it would mean that you would simply put a cushion or something like that underneath their feet to make sure that their limbs were perfectly aligned. The secret with this, as in all healing, is to make sure that the person that you are going to be healing is comfortable. And the best way to make them comfortable as possible, even regardless of the injuries they may be suffering from, is actually to sit them in a position which is nice and upright, and that hopefully they will be able to support themselves in that kind of stance. Now, it may well be that for someone, shall we say, who has an injured back or something like that, that they actually have to have an arm or something they need to rest upon. In that case, I would suggest that you actually turn a straight back chair sideways so that they can actually rest either their left or right arm upon the back, the top of the back of the chair, so that they are able to keep themselves upright and take the strain away from their lower back or their upper back or whatever it is else that is giving them the trouble. And in this way, you see, you will have full access to both the back, the side, the front, and also other areas in between around the neck or whatever it is. But of course, at this time and point, you may not necessarily know what it is you are going to be doing before you go into this altered state of consciousness to be able to bring through the healing guides and helpers, spirit people, in order to help the patient.
So I was just thinking about some of the things that I can try and think of for people, because obviously I do trance healing and Mick does trance healing.
Yes.
And I was just trying to think of some of the things that they could maybe expect when they are developing. I remember that Spirit would move my arm. You know, I would be sat there and they would start moving my arms around and then my head or something like that and different things and looking. And it's a bit like, well, it would be like that for developing trance anyway, wouldn't it? Possibly.
Not always, of course.
But I'm just trying to warn people,
yes,
in case they think that's a bit weird.
Yes, well, sometimes, of course, it will be that because of the trance state, it means that the energies will be suitable enough for those on our side of life to come through with actual physical touches. That means both for the patient and for the healer involved as well. So even if you are in an altered state of consciousness, in trance or whatever, you may actually begin to feel, perhaps, that there are those spirit energies around you, and they're so close that you actually feel their fingers and their hands upon you actually moving and manipulating your hands or your arms. It may, of course, be that you don't feel any of this, but you actually feel a certain form of energy forming around your arms, your lower arms or upper arms, certain parts of your body perhaps, that they actually then you feel a kind of force field, if you like, that's actually moving them. And the point is, of course, for you not to resist any of this at all. The whole point of doing this is your engagement. Just allow the situation to be. Allow it to not overtake you. We're not asking you to be unwitting hosts. You are doing this through agreement and respect. And so long as you respect them, they will respect you. And that's the point always to remember. If you're a person who always is turned on by the spirit world, then you aren't giving yourself any respect. You are not dealing your own state of equilibrium for your journey and your free will experience, the respect or the spirit world's respect, to say, well, I need some private time to do this or that. You see, that's why you really need to, I am well aware, and you will be well aware that you are desperate, perhaps, at these initial stages, or at any stage, to want to continue the communication process with the spirit world. It's your free will experience. If you want to do that, then do it, by all means. But don't then complain about it when it becomes too much. That's what I'm saying. So, in effect, you want this to be a reasonable collaboration. You want to give your best at all times. So therefore, it is better for you to give your best at times which are opportune, rather than it being a constant drain upon your resources. And the other thing to quickly say is about this meaning of energy. And I have to say that some people may actually feel perhaps exhausted after they have had an encounter with the spirit world. Well, they shouldn't be exhausted. So if they're exhausted, then it means that it's a mismatch of energy. And that actually what should be happening is that after you have meditated or after you have been through this development process, perhaps you're doing trance healing or some other form of healing, whatever it is, you should actually feel invigorated, enlightened, beautified by the experience that you have had, even though you may have been out of your body and that you didn't actually experience anything of what went on. It doesn't matter. What matters is your giving, your being in service, and developing that gift of spirit, the divine state of healing for someone else.
And if you don't, and if you find that you're not able to be to go into trance really at any degree, then there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. Then
no.
You can just do ordinary healing. I don't mean just as in it's
well, you can do. You can bring about other forms of healing. Mm. There are many other forms of healing. That's the point, really. As we had talked about the trance subject, the situation it evokes so many connotations. They're the attractive states that people always feel that they want to be a part of, perhaps because they're written about so profoundly, perhaps because they've always fancied doing that or trying that. Well, do. Yes, I'm not saying don't. But what I am saying is that for many people, it won't be for them.
And you're a lot more restricted doing trance. If you only do trance healing and not other types of healing, and really you're not interested in doing the other healing, then you're not going to be working as much because it's just not practical a lot of the time.
No, quite so, because you can only really accommodate such a thing for a certain length of time.
And for certain people, you know, it frightens people.
Absolutely, yes, of course. It frightens clients. You don't want to do that, really.
Yeah, it wouldn't frighten the animals.
No, it would never frighten the animals.
But I was thinking about psychic surgery.
Yes.
Which is obviously slightly different, but how would somebody discover that they were a psychic surgeon? What is it?
Yes, it varies very differently. Depends entirely upon the energy, who's involved in it. It depends on so many factors from the spirit world, really. Again, unfortunately, many people practicing psychic surgeons will actually perhaps have rather too much to do with it, in a sense. And
but you said they'd have to be in trance to do it properly, wouldn't they?
To a certain extent, yes, although it may well be that the actual state is just for them to be near that person means that the energy from the spirit world envelops the patient and the situation is directed by the spirit world. So you would see that this person has a sense of complete absenteeism, I suppose, of the situation around them. So the psychic surgeon who is actually doing it, of course they're not actually doing it. What's actually happening is that there will be many other beings who are dealing with this situation in the spirit world. I have often heard it said and often seen results of psychic surgery, real psychic surgery, whereby perhaps the person will put their hand in somebody else's abdomen and pull something out which shouldn't be there. Perhaps even arrest a growth or something like that. And there will be no blood. Nothing at all. Just a hole which will then seal itself.
How does that happen, Gregory?
The wonders of the spirit world, friend.
There's not many people like that can do it, that well, though, is there?
No, I understand there is an individual in Brazil who is practicing at this time.
I've heard of him. I can't think of his name at the moment.
Yes. There is someone else as well who works with instruments and sticks them up people's noses.
Oh, I saw that. Yes. No, I don't think...
Yes.
No, I don't think that's good. That's not good.
I wouldn't recommend it myself.
No, that isn't what I would call psychic surgery, really.
No, we are not really talking about that. We're really talking about operations without the point of knives or needles or anything like that.
Yes. So where they can, where the medium can actually put his hand in the body and fix things.
Yes, and then take it out again and the body just heals itself in a matter of moments, really.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I mean, the thing is, people do go to people like that.
Yes.
As a last, real last resort, mainly. So it is usually dire situation.
Yes, yes. But I understand as well that some people also do psychic surgery, and in as much as they will be doing the operation out of body. So it means that they will actually be doing it upon the skin surface.
Mm-hmm.
What they're actually doing inside, or rather what the spirit people are doing inside.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that is something which is accomplished and which very often enables that person to walk again or whatever.
Okay,
it is.
So it looks like, from an observer, it looks like they're doing something on top of the skin.
Yes.
And what is happening is the spirit...
is a mirror image of what is happening... what the person is doing on the skin is going on inside of the body of the person.
Mm-hmm.
And they will say, I can feel this. I can feel there are hands inside. You yourself, my friend, will actually feel at times as though perhaps when you are engaged in trance healing work or whatever, and that the person will report afterwards that there was more than your hands at work.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
That there were four or more hands that mm-hmm. they felt at different parts of their body. And even, of course, other people who will have reported perhaps that they felt hands even before you had actually walked up to them.
Mm.
And that, too, is a very good indication of the possibilities of psychic surgery, you see.
Mm.
So that is something to remember, that psychic surgery is very often not just to do with the physical person, but is very often to do with those in the spirit world who are actually controlling the situation, and they're the ones that are doing the surgery. The person who is the medium for it is actually illuminating the situation, providing the energy. As, of course, are those who are watching, who are taking part in it.
Well, I expect they must have really good insurance. And that's the other thing, actually, just we've only got a minute left, but just
yes.
to say that, you know, obviously if you're going to be doing this on anyone, it's always best to have somebody there watching.
Always have a chaperone.
Always have a chaperone, because you never know, you know, what somebody might say went on.
Yes, well, you should anyway.
Yeah, you should. Well, it's good for you. If you're in trance, you should have a chaperone, and also they can watch what happens so that nothing can be said
as being untoward.
Absolutely, yeah.
You are both protected in that event.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
And, of course, I would just say as well
that
the patient, too, would be entitled to have their own chaperone.
Yes.
As long as that makes them feel happier.
Yeah.
And that should make you feel happier,
yeah,
too.
I think so, yes.
Yes. Well, God bless and goodbye.
Bye.
For now.
Bye. Well, that was fun. We thank you for joining us. We haven't got any time to talk about anything else, really. But anyway, thanks very much for listening. It's spirit-teaching.com, our website. And please join us next week. Actually, join us on Thursday. My name is Sylvie Avery, and until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.